Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. After I covered PPC and Sepaku Holdings in the last episode of Ghost Rap, it was Afrimat's turn this week to cause a buzz in the cement sector. This is really big news, with Afrimat announcing the acquisition of Lafarge South Africa from its foreign owners. Those foreign owners must be pretty gutful of South Africa by now, having watched Lafarge's EBITDA drop from 311 million rand to just 38 million rand in the last financial year. Now, you may rightly be wondering why Afrimat is buying this thing at all, but remember that Afrimat already plays in the construction materials space and understands the local market better than anyone, so there will be synergies here. The purchase price is approximately a billion rand, most of which relates to shareholder loans to be repaid to the current owner of Lafarge, the Holcim Group. The share price response was Holcim in a different way, closing 11% higher for the week. But therein lies the risk, you see. Afrimat's track record in deal-making is so good that the market tends to price in the benefits of an acquisition before those benefits have even been delivered, and that, of course, is a dangerous situation to be in. Anglo Gold is a very good example of why I gave up on the gold sector from an investing perspective. The companies can still deliver very juicy return to traders, but you have to watch them like a hawk. In the latest quarterly update, Anglo Gold demonstrates the problem with gold miners during periods of high inflation. You see, the gold price doesn't always behave the way people want it to during inflation, i.e. it doesn't always go up, but we know for sure that mining costs will go up in that environment. Now, this makes it more likely than not that margins will be squeezed, a particularly problematic outcome if there are also production issues that put further pressure on cash costs per ounce. In the 3 months to March 2022, the average gold price received per ounce was $1,895, and that is horribly similar to $1,881 in the comparable quarter of the prior year. But sadly, total cash costs per ounce jumped by 14% in the Anglo Gold subsidiaries and 28% in the joint ventures. So you don't need to get the calculator out to know what that meant for margins. Now add in the impact of financial leverage thanks to $2.1 billion in debt on the balance sheet and higher finance costs, and you have a recipe for ugly numbers. And ugly they were, with profit down from $218 million to $92 million in the latest quarter. A share price chart really does make for interesting viewing here, particularly if you are looking for a volatile stock to take a position on. Now for balance, I must touch on Harmony Gold's pre-close update, which reflects production towards the upper end of 2023 guidance, so that's a lot more bullish than Anglo Gold. This has helped keep all-in sustaining costs below 900,000 rand a kilogram. Now, in case you're wondering, a kilogram of gold currently sells for roughly 1.15 million rand. So there is profit margin there, but it is hardly enormous, and that's where the problems can come in if the price goes the wrong way. The real focus at Harmony is on the inclusion of copper in its portfolio, with the group making some big investments in serious copper assets. They may need to change the name from Harmony Gold at some point. Growthpoint gave an honest assessment of what the near-term future looks like, and the market was not happy about it. Nothing in here should really be a shock, though, because the impact of rising rates on property funds is significant, and we know that already. And we also know that it is only really felt as debt matures and then is refinanced at the prevailing, much higher rates. If a buy-to-let investment is not terribly appealing to you right now, then you need to remember that a REIT or a listed property fund on the JSE is ultimately just buy-to-let at immense scale. Growthpoint's additional challenge is that the fund truly is huge, which means it has some absolute gems in it like the V&A waterfront, as well as some real dogs like a portfolio of office properties in Sandton where vacancies are really an issue. Now, this exposes the group to South Africa's broader economic fortunes, so negative reversions are not helping things, and a negative reversion means the new lease is at a lower rate than the one that expired, a direct result of pressure in the economy and, of course, the opposite of what you want to see as a property owner. Overall, Growthpoint has guided that distributable income per share will still increase in FY23, but it will decrease in FY24. The share price fell 8% last week based on that update. Mr. Price released a rough set of numbers to say the least. They were woefully underprepared for the onslaught of load shedding over the festive season, and they seem to have suffered more than their peers on relative terms. When sales are slower than planned, the shelves sit with too much stock and promotional activity is then needed to clear it out. Now this creates a double whammy effect with both sales and gross margin pressure. On top of this, working capital is elevated because there is too much stock on the shelves, so finance costs go up as well to fund all that unnecessary inventory. The net result, HEPS fell by 6% in the year ended 1 April 2023, with Mr. Price seemingly guilty of focusing too much on recent acquisitions and not enough on the core business that actually pays the bills. A flurry of deals can be risky for shareholders, especially in the retail industry, based on what we've seen from this sector in the past. We need to cover banking this week, with FirstRand and Standard Bank both releasing numbers. I'll start with the former, with a trading update telling us that FirstRand's return on equity is expected to remain at the upper end of the 18% to 22% range. The real win at FirstRand is that the credit loss ratio seems to be well under control, after a deliberate decision to be more conservative in lending over the past couple of years. The bad news is that the cost-to-income ratio is similar to the prior year, so expenses at FirstRand are growing at a similar pace to revenue. Moving on to Standard Bank, it is fascinating to see the relative performance versus FirstRand. With record revenue growth in the 5 months to May, Standard Bank continues to generate solid income in this environment. Expenses grew at a slower rate than revenue, so there is positive jaws, which is the fancy banking term for higher profit margins, something that FirstRand shareholders were hoping for and did not get. But unlike FirstRand, Standard Bank is worried about its credit loss ratio, which has moved in the wrong direction. It remains within the through-the-cycle target range, but only thanks to its largest corporate clients. Despite the credit loss pressures, Standard Bank expects headline earnings per share to be more than 20% higher. And finally, Steinhoff has released possibly its last report as a listed company, although there might be time for one more before the inevitable delisting. With the woe restructuring plan approved by the Dutch courts despite upset shareholders, the process will now continue and equity shareholders will likely be left with worthless shares, something I have pointed out literally more times than I care to count in Ghostmail and on this podcast, yet many people were still buying these shares. In the latest results, Steinhoff released a sum of the parts valuation that shows the shares as being worth minus 0.69 euros each. If that isn't final proof of what will be left for equity shareholders, I genuinely don't know what is. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.